Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this? Welcome to the Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and on UltimateSportsTalk.com. It is a Veterans Day post salute to all who have served and continue to serve our nation and to keep our freedom strong. I'm your host, Eric Brown. You can follow me on Twitter at FitForLife to chat a little football, and life is spelled with a Y. That's the way I had to do it because it was taken otherwise. So today we'll be talking fantasy football with at the Fantasy Greek Jim Sarantos in the No Joke Football Huddle, sponsored by Zazzle.com. And once again, of course, I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Nkeishi Free and Erica Lynn Anderson of GridironGirl.org and NFL Pro Talk. Hey, guys, how's the Veterans Day weekend going for you guys?
It's going good for me. It has been a long weekend, but a good weekend.
Been a good one. Just had a wedding to go to, and other than that, it's been good.
Yeah, we wrapped up our Little League football season this weekend, so my son's team came in second for his 8U division, and then I don't know if you guys know, but I actually am a cheerleader coach and have been coaching youth cheerleaders for 4 years, and so we had cheer competition this morning. Well, it's all day today, and my girls came in second place, so I'm happy. It's been a good weekend, but a long one.
How exciting. Nice.
Yeah, Coach Keith is happy.
It's been a kind of a busy weekend here. I guess the usual routine of, the running kids back and forth and laundry and kitchen and all that stuff, so... But, of course, you know, being able to fit some football in there, of course, so that always makes the weekend that much better.
Yeah,
exactly.
So as far as any games this weekend catch your eye, guys, or pretty much, after yesterday, yeah, there were some upsets.
Yeah, Mississippi State getting beat by Alabama, that was... I think to be, shake up the CFP a little bit, for sure. I was hoping Florida State would lose, but unfortunately they didn't. My Huskies almost upset Arizona. Oh, man, that was close. 1 point. There were some good games yesterday, for sure.
Okay, I'm so proud of myself. I actually did follow a college football game yesterday. I followed the University of Florida Gators versus South Carolina, which I saw was a upset in overtime. And I actually heard today on the radio that the Gators are going to fire their coach after this season. Is that true?
They did fire him.
Actually, he decided to step down. You never know if it was one of those things where they asked to – where they said, okay, we'll let you step down or fire you, or it was something you decided to do. But yeah, that was a big surprise.
Yeah, Florida hasn't done much really since Tebow left. You know, they really haven't been relevant in college football, and I think they just need kind of reworking there.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of cyclical. You'll be up on top for a few years, and you'll be down for a few years, depending on the program. Some programs can stay on top for a 10-15 year run, and then they just reload after that. So
exactly.
We'll see what happens with that, I'm sure they'll find another top-notch coach to get in there next year and get him turned around. So we'll see. So all you Gator fans out there, stay tuned.
Yeah, right. And one other game was the Rams beating the Broncos. How about that today? They don't have a whole lot of wins this season, but the wins they do have, they're like beating the good teams. It's really funny. So that was definitely an interesting turn of events today.
That's perfect for our topic today for fantasy, too, because I have Peyton Manning as my fantasy quarterback. So I am more than ready to talk about fantasy football today so I can figure this out.
Yes, I'm sure you're mad about that because they average like 30 points a game. So don't know what happened there.
No.
All right. Well, we'll get into lots of college football action that happened this weekend. So, of course, I want to invite everyone to follow at Gridiron Girl for tailgating ideas and recipes plus updates from their bloggers. But let's do the women's game rundown like we always do before we get to the No Joke Football Huddle. You can go to Zazzle.com/GridironBeauties and get 10% off on every item. So you can use the promo code ORDERSHIP10, the number 10 spelled out T-E-N, to get your discount. In the women's game week, go to our timeline at Gridiron Beauty on Twitter and Facebook for the latest updates. Once again, that's Gridiron Beauty, and you can find that on Twitter and Facebook to get the latest updates. So let's go down under to Australia as the Queensland ladies now eye the playoffs for November 22nd. The top four teams in the playoff mix include former champs Logan City Jets, the Gold City Stingrays, Kenmore Panthers, and the Steelers. Our No Joke Football supporters, Christy Morin of the Jets, and Lauren Evans of GC Gold Coast look to collide in playoff mode. The Jets look for a historic third Summer Bowl appearance given their loss in 2013 championship versus the champs at GC Stingrays 12-8. The Jets are 1-1 in title games. You can visit gridironqld.asn.au for updates. In Gridiron Victoria, at GridironVic on Twitter, that's VIC on Twitter. Follow them weekly using the hashtag GVWomens for game day updates. Champs Western Foxes remain undefeated 4-0 and clinch a playoff spot towards the return to the Vic Bowl berth. The Foxes defeated the Northern Lady Raiders 40-12, so they had a big win there to earn a playoff spot. The Vic Bowl will be hosted by the Berwick Diamonds. Playoffs will begin with two-week playoff format. So not much room for error there. So you can get your details at gridironvictoria.com.au. In Gridiron New South Wales Week 6, Newcastle Cobras fall to the UTS Gridiron 34-18 and in undefeated streak, plus the champs Phoenix get beat 34-28 by the Raiders Women's Gridiron and fall to 1-4 in 2014. So I'm sure they'll be looking for a big turnaround next year. And you can visit at GridironNSW on Twitter or visit their website, gridironnsw.org, at AU for standings and matchups. Now moving on to Mexico, LIBF exhibition November 15th, featuring Vipers versus, see if I can get this right, the Diosas Aztecs, which stands for Aztec Goddesses. Visit their official site at www.libf.com.mx for details, plus updates on Twitter at LIBF Official for results. Also, LIBF announced its official magazine debut of Fuerza LIBF, which is LIBF Force, available at every game day event, and happy to announce, and let's see if I can get this right, at, I think it's IRUDAA, Sophia Van B, and at Moon Aran, so I'll spell that, MOONARANDIA, Moon Arandia, will be supporting our No Joke Year real soon. In FXF Mexico action, check out our Facebook page for updates and MVP nominees. It's playoff time for all three divisions. Follow them at FSX or FXF underscore Mexico. Once again, that's at FXF underscore Mexico for weekly updates. And big congrats to Adrian Smith of Queen at Queendom and at Boston Militia Squad for being honored at the White House this Friday by President Obama. Historic moment for Militia. They won their third title and were undefeated in the 2014 season. So big accomplishment there. And finally, congrats to at BFA Women on a great Opal Series event. Follow the Australian season and how it unfolds by keeping up to date on the latest Gridiron Victoria, Queensland, ACT, and New South Wales action by following at Women's Gridiron on Twitter and visit Women's Gridiron Leagues of Australia on Facebook. Also a reminder, tryouts for Women's Gridiron North America scene for 2014 are on now. Follow at WFB Talk. Once again, that's WFB Talk. And at Backseat Coach for the latest updates on that. And that's Women's News. Follow us for the latest on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty or Facebook.com/Gridiron Beauties. So let's go into the huddle with the ever insightful Jim Sarantas. Let's see if he's there.
Doing real well. How's everybody tonight? Glad to be here.
We're doing good.
Sunday night.
Yep, almost time for some football.
I'm ready whenever
you guys are. Okay, well, we're ready. I'm just letting everybody know what your Twitter handle is so they can follow you. That's at the Fantasy Greek on Twitter. Once again, that's at the Fantasy Greek, and that's on Twitter. So thanks for making the time to join us. You're with Erica Lynn Anderson and Kishi Free, who, of course, love to talk football, and I'm Eric Brown. Not sure if – don't think we've ever talked before. Don't think we've had – or haven't been on the show with you on, so just introducing myself. So let's just get your thoughts on fantasy and any surprises in the season so far.
Oh, there's been plenty. A lot of them are – you know, still surprising. I know one of the bold predictions I had at the beginning of the season was the contributions that we would see from rookies, and that we would be talking about that later in the season, and clearly we're here. I mean, rookies like Kelvin Benjamin, Mike Evans, Jordan Matthews are all big-time fantasy contributors, where in the past you couldn't really depend on your rookies to do much for you unless they were wide receivers. So that's been pretty cool, and it's been kind of awesome to ride that wave if you've had the guts to go ahead and pick up a rookie and start him. Oh, and did I mention Odell Beckham? Odell Beckham, too.
Right, yeah. All those guys are having a big year. So you do kind of take a chance, almost being like a regular, you know, or like a real owner where you're kind of taking a chance on guys. So what's your, I guess, best tips for beginners that are kind of just, you know, looking at fantasy football and kind of, you know, trying to test the waters and see how it goes? Any tips for them?
I mean, there's probably several depending. When you're drafting, my tips are always to walk in with the top 200 draft sheet, whether it's from my website, thefantasygreek.com, or someplace else, just something to give you some guidance and to help you get along in the draft and hopefully make some decent picks. And then once the season starts, it's really about playing the matchups. Hopefully you can get acclimated to the different names of players. I know when I've tried fantasy in different sports, that's usually the hardest part, trying to, you know who the best players are, know which ones are in the middle, which ones are at the lower end. And you play the matchups. Basically, if you can get a situation where a player actually has a favorable matchup, you want to get them in that game. mean, take, for example, today, Kenny Britt. He was a player that I kicked myself a little bit. I made up for with Michael Floyd, but I had thought about playing Kenny Britt because here they were playing the Broncos, who give up a decent amount of fantasy points to wide receivers. And clearly, at least my thought was, they would be playing from behind and Kenny would have some opportunities to make some points, and he did early on. I think he had 90 yards and a touchdown score. So that ended up being a really good thing for him. So when you do stuff like that, you can succeed.
Okay. So would you recommend for someone who is new to kind of take a look back at past seasons and see who's been successful, or do you think that matters?
Oh, it can matter. When I sit down and I do my projections, I definitely do look to the past to see how they've been used, different players have been used on their team's offenses. You can get an idea of, generally speaking, what a range of fantasy points are for players. And then based on what the news is, then you can make adjustments towards how they're going to be used this season or whether or not they now have different players on the team that should impact their fantasy points.
Well, Jim, this is Kishi. Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for coming on this weekend.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm really glad that you said that about looking at players and, you know, who you've had in the past, because this is only my second year doing fantasy, and when I had my original lineup, I literally had an A-minus grade because of the players that I had, and literally, with the exception of Peyton Manning and Dan Bailey, almost none of my original starters have I even kept because they didn't pan out. I had Danny Amendola from the Patriots. I had Vincent Jackson with Tampa Bay. And this is the part that hurts the most. I'm so embarrassed to say this. I had the Legion of Boom for defense. And if they've even gotten me 15 points at all this season, yeah, I'll be surprised. They literally can start me off with 15 points, and by the end of the game, if I have 9, I'm happy, you know. And yeah, I really and truly have just been kind of like, whoa, you know, and have found, especially with my tight ends and a lot of my running backs, again, there was so much parity. I even had Chris Johnson, you know, with the Jets, and like you were saying, going with someone who has done well in the past, but he was not doing so well in the offense and the lineup that they had in the Jets. So does that matter when people change teams like that?
Oh, it sure can. So far, let's see, you've mentioned Danny Amendola. If you look at his past performance you learn a lot of things from his past performance. The first one is that he's injury prone. The second one that if you look at his past performance on the Patriots, he really didn't do much last season. Part of it had to do with being injured and part of it didn't. And you kind of knew, well, here's a team whose offense, they have a lot of different pieces, and everybody's sort of getting work. So no one's really making a great impact except for a guy like Rob Gronkowski and, secondly, Julian Edelman. And even Edelman's not doing so well this year with the rise of Brandon LaFell within the offense, but that's something that you make the adjustment in the middle of the season, you go pick up Brandon LaFell. A player like Chris Johnson, you know, the biggest thing he had going against him was his age. Going to a new team where there was another running back like Chris Ivory, where you knew that if the team wanted to, in fact, run the football like they talked about, you knew that he would be splitting some of the time with Chris Ivory, and you know his fantasy points can be impacted by, let's say, half. But the one thing we could never really tell is how suddenly they're not using him at all.
Exactly.
It was definitely a surprise. It was definitely a shocker. It's one of those things that, you know, the best analyst in the world isn't going to pick up on that until it actually happens.
And that's so funny you said that, because I actually did end up picking up Chris Ivory.
Well, there you go. I mean, Chris has ended up being a pretty decent play, not the greatest, but decent enough that you can look to him every week to at least consider him. And in some instances, you know, oh, yeah, this is a great matchup with Chris Plant.
Right. Well, and I think that for me, and I don't know about others, again, this is only my second time, you know, doing fantasy. But what I also found was that while I had real talented wide receivers or tight ends, they often did not have strong quarterbacks who were getting them the ball, so they weren't getting many points. Or I had situations where I had players on teams where the quarterback was a runner, you know, with some of my 49ers and also with, oh gosh, I forgot who else I had. But they were other quarterbacks. Oh, Russell Wilson. I had a couple of the Seahawks. So I had to kind of get rid of them because Russell Wilson just kept running the ball himself. So he wasn't really sharing. So it wasn't helping my fantasy points.
Yeah, sometimes that'll happen. Well, you know, things will just change, and there's nothing you can do about it. You just adjust on the fly.
Speaking of Russell Wilson, who would you say the key QBs would be as far as fantasy teams? Who are the top ones that a lot of people are trying to get?
Who you want on your team out of the NFC in terms of the quarterbacks?
Well, just the quarterbacks in general.
In terms of the NFC quarterbacks, I would say some quarterbacks to keep in mind as you go forward. More than likely, you know, unless you still have time to trade, you won't be able to get them. But they're ones that I sort of like, especially now that we're heading towards the playoffs. For example, Tony Romo has a nice,
mm-hmm.
favorable schedule going forward into the fantasy playoffs. Also, Russell Wilson does. So he's a good quarterback to have at this point. If you don't have Peyton Manning, if you don't have Aaron Rodgers, I mean, those guys are truly the ones that you really want. And even sort of a sneaky play, even though I didn't care for his game today, was RG3. He's got a nice favorable playoff schedule, but he's certainly a quarterback you can keep on your bench if you want a backup just in case, you know, people get hurt.
Right, yeah, I can understand
those are a few quarterbacks, yeah.
Okay. Now, with the NFL being so pass-happy nowadays, are running backs struggling to get points, or you can go pretty good with certain running backs?
Well, you could definitely go pretty good with certain running backs. I mean, it really so much has to do with the philosophy of the team that they're on. I know you've seen more of because it's more of a pass-happy league, we're seeing less and less running backs being used, or we're seeing full committee-type situations like you see with the Browns, for example, who have three great running backs and they're using all three of them, and none of them are really necessarily doing great. Usually there's one a week, but even this week, the running back who ended up sort of being the lead running back, it was a surprise. Other teams who love to run the football, God bless them, the Chiefs with Jamal Charles, the Bears with Matt Forte. The Bengals are historically a team that loves to run the football, so right now Jeremy Hill is putting a rock for him, and he's doing really well. The Texans, their offense right now is built around the running back position, given the issues that they have at quarterback. So Alfred Blue, who substituted in for Arian Foster, he's just having a tremendous game today. Marshawn Lynch is just pretty much money every week, and Seattle loves to run the football. It's actually one of these things with the league getting away from running the football, you realize what a mistake that is, because the teams I've mentioned, they're actually doing fairly well, and teams that win championships have a really strong running game. So while we've gotten more pass happy, I think the reality is people eventually are going to realize, oh, we shouldn't forget about running backs. They're important too. We'll have to give them all hugs, basically.
Yeah, definitely running back is a very important position because if for nothing else, you need something to run the clock down once you get that lead at the end of the fourth quarter. You don't have to keep, you know, throwing and stopping the clock stopping the clock and, you know, taking
Absolutely.
A chance on interceptions, things like that. So,
well, and I think people that actually have one and if they have two strong running backs on their fantasy teams, they're probably in contention. They're probably teams that are going to make the playoffs, and they're probably teams that will make it to the championship game.
Right.
Now, who do you think would be upset players for this season? I mean, like I said, I mentioned I had, you know, Seattle for my defense, and I literally almost cried last week because I chose to start them over Cleveland, and Cleveland would have gotten me 17 points, you know, and can't imagine that I've even gotten that many points this entire season out of Seattle.
Yeah, you know what? We actually have a list of the 10 biggest busts in the football season, at least towards the middle of the season in fantasy football on our website, thefantasygreek.com. And I think the biggest one right now has got to be Adrian Peterson. Here's a fellow who's likely drafted in most drafts as a top five pick. And, you know, before we even get to how he did on the field, within a couple weeks of the season, he's sidelined and now he's suspended, and nobody really knows whether or not he's going to make it back onto the gridiron. So he's likely the biggest bust. Calvin Johnson, believe it or not, has been a bust insofar as he's been hurt. And any of the players who come up in conversation that have been hurt so far this season, who, you know, their teams, instead of just getting them off to the side and letting them rest and let them rehabilitate so they can get on the field and play strong, when they were using Calvin Johnson as a decoy, nobody knew that, and everybody was just getting crushed in fantasy
Jimmy
who
Graham.
Were using him. What's that?
Jimmy Graham's another one. He's a tight end. You know, you draft him top five, and you think, oh, gosh, Jimmy Graham, he's really strong. Well, he injures a shoulder, and like you said, I think they rest him maybe 1 or 2 weeks. He's back playing, but he's not full strength, and they're not using him like they were using him. So, I mean, I have him on my team, and he did really well for me. He had a ton of points last week, but this week I think he's got me like two points or something, a total wasted roster spot. But, you know, he's somebody that, you know, you didn't know, you know, you can't predict injury. So, he's been a big disappointment for sure this year.
Absolutely. And you could also look at Monty Ball, who got injured early on. You can look at A.J. Green, who's been injured. Is other players that sort of fit the mold that you just described. But then we can get on to players that, you know, they're healthy and they're not doing much, like LeSean McCoy. I know the analysts for the Fantasy Greek, they all thought LeSean McCoy should be the number one draft pick. I was one of a few that really thought Jamaal Charles should be the number one draft pick. And so far as it's turned out, if you have LeSean McCoy in your fantasy team, more than likely it's not doing so well. I think he had a decent enough game today, but in general, he is certainly far off the 2,000 or 1,500 to 2,000 all-purpose yards people thought he would get this year, as well as the 10 to 12 TDs they thought he would have this season. So you can add him to the mix of players that have been disappointments, along with Zach Stacy, along with Doug Martin. Doug Martin especially. I mean, here he was lead running back for the Buccaneers, had his season cut short last season, and now they have a new head coach, Lovie Smith, who's coming from the Chicago Bears, that have always historically had a serious power running game. Matt Forte, you're thinking, hey, Doug Martin, back on the saddle, yes, he's going to be a great running back, and he has been the worst, and now they're bringing in running backs to take his spot. So, hey, you can't really see that coming until it happens, but it's definitely some of the biggest busts this year.
Stephen Ridley's another one. You know, we thought Stephen Ridley was going to be huge for the Patriots this year. He was really coming into his own, and then he, you know, his knee is blown out, and he's sidelined for the season. So he was another one that I didn't personally have him, but I know a lot of people that did, and, you know, you just got to let him go and try and pick somebody up later, but obviously all the really big ones are taken. But a running back I've been impressed with this year and that I was fortunate enough to have him on my team is Justin Smith for the Ravens. I have been pretty impressed with his performance so far. Last week he got me 23 points. So he's been a nice surprise so far.
Yeah, and he's been an interesting player because his history has him start off with the Houston Texans, and maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I can't remember exactly, but it's very recent history. He ends up being one of the best fantasy backs all the way around, and then the following year he's a top pick, and he busts, and he does terribly. He's hurt. And he disappears from the radars for a couple of seasons, and then out of nowhere, while a backup for the Ravens, he ends up being their number one running back, who's actually successful. It seems now, health-wise, he's rehabilitated, and he's, you know, he's a good player.
Yeah.
He's certainly one of the most impressive ones this year. And what will be interesting to see is whether or not he can keep that up for next season.
Yeah, I got him, like, super late, too. I think he was one of the ones where I kind of ran out of my list. And I was going through the thing, and I was like, oh, Justin Forsett, you know, like you said, I had known that a couple years ago he was good, and, you know, and I thought, oh, he's good for bye week type of back. And turns out he's better than a bye week running back. He's good for primetime running back. So it's been a good find.
Good for you. That's all I have to say is good for you.
Yeah, I
don't think I've had a good running back this entire season because, like, you know, I had Zach Stacy too with the Rams, and, again, he was another one. I had Darren McFadden. I knew that he was going to be risky because of the fact that Oakland, you can see they've turned out. I mean, haven't won a game, and I knew that he was also risky in terms of the injury issues. But, again, it's so many of the other running backs just have not produced. You know, like I said, you know, I had Chris Johnson, and the only reason why I played McFadden this weekend was because Chris, the Jets want to buy. And again, I have not had the good production numbers out of most of my wide receivers. The best one I think I've gotten so far probably has been Michael Floyd. And, like, he gave me 17 points today, and I'm, like, ecstatic to even get over 10 points out of a running back or a wide receiver or even a tight end this season.
Yeah, he's been another one of the running backs that you kind of look – you throw Steven Jackson in there, throw Frank Gore in there, that, you know, you kind of at least expected a little bit more. And it just hasn't really panned out. And it's really sad because he's still at an age where he still should have a few good seasons in him, whether or not it's the changes with the Raiders' offense that have impacted his game, maybe not being the workhorse running back that he was, where there is, even if it's not the case, there is, you know, this thought that he's no longer the lead back. I think some of this stuff actually impacts players. If you believe you're the number one guy, a lot of players thrive from that belief. And when you no longer believe you're the number one guy, it also hurts you in terms of your performance. And you have to wonder in these changes in the NFL if some of these players who, you know, they were their college's lead running back, and that's what they thought they would always be. When they come to the pros and they no longer are, if that really sort of just, you know, impacts their performance adversely.
Yeah, it can definitely mess with your mind, especially if you're going into a game. Well, it can also affect your preparation, because if you're going into a game thinking that, okay, they're not going to use me that much, all of a sudden you're thrown into the mix and you're not prepared, then, you know, not only are you in trouble, but the rest of the team can be in trouble as well.
Exactly. And really, you can look at the hard numbers themselves and reach that conclusion. Just go look at Marshawn Lynch. He's the lead running back there, and he's got some terrific numbers. Jamaal Charles, lead running back, terrific numbers. Matt Forte, lead running back, terrific numbers. Now let's go look at the Falcons, and they've got four running backs, and nobody's really has an outstanding season. How about the Tennessee Titans? They're just horrible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it's just amazing that in all the talk and all the discussions, and it probably will end up being more a topic of the off-season, an off-season topic of discussion. It's just amazing not to hear that more coming up, even in a broadcast of a football game.
Exactly. Well, my next question was going to be, and you kind of answered it already, but I was going to ask you kind of what any surprises that you've had this year or, anything that's really caught your attention that you didn't think would happen. But we kind of ran down the list so far with the running backs. But anything else that kind of surprised you or caught your eye?
You can be surprised about a lot of things. Certainly, while I predicted that we would be looking back on the season as a big year for rookies to contribute, the reality is it's been a lot bigger than I think anybody really expected. I mean, today Mike Evans caught 209 yards and two TDs, and that's outstanding. That's what you would expect maybe from a three-year or more wide receiver, not a rookie. How about Mark Sanchez? I know he didn't have a very good game today, but last week he had an incredibly great game, and here was somebody that was pretty much the doormat of the New York Jets, made fun of in the media for a lot of different things, and suddenly he comes out and he throws three passing touchdowns. So that was a surprise to me. Those are a few things.
Who would you say is your best rookie?
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. Who would you think would be your best rookie surprise so far this season?
The best one this season?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's probably going to be between Mike Evans, because I think if he continues producing at the level he's producing at, it'll probably be Mike Evans. I love Kelvin Benjamin. I think that his main issue, or the sort of what's negative about him, is that he's still so very raw, and he makes mistakes, plenty of them. And I would say probably Mike Evans is it. He's the leader in that group. Wow, who else? Alfred Blue, well, we're not going to see enough of him because Arian Foster is going to be coming back. I love Jeremy Hill. It's been pretty amazing to see how he's picked up for Gio Bernard. I mean, in essence, the Bengals in back-to-back seasons drafted what would be number one running backs if this was just a normal, if it was a season, let's say, 5 years ago. You would draft your workhorse running back early in the draft, and then you wouldn't address the position again for a few seasons. But they've done it in back-to-back seasons. Same thing with the Rams and what they've done, and now you have Trey Mason, who's sort of leading the way over there. That's been a bit of a surprise. We've got tight ends, I think, are making a bigger impact. Usually what happens is your first year or two of being a tight end, you're still situating yourself to the offenses, and you don't really make an impact until at least the second year, maybe then the third year. But we're seeing more and more tight ends being ready to go as soon as they come out of college, or at least they're being used that way. You don't have to be a blocking tight end in order to get playing time, for example.
Right, especially with a lot of offenses running four and five wide receivers. Nowadays, you have to be able to catch if you're going to be a tight end.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
You know what? We've talked a lot about wide receivers. I'm sorry, guys. I just want to jump in real quick. We've talked a lot about wide receivers and running backs and tight ends, but you know who we really have not talked about? The kickers. And I know that the kickers really and truly are, you know, sometimes are considered the redheaded stepchildren of the league, but I have to tell you, Dan Bailey this season has been my saving grace, because he literally each week has gotten me equal, if not more, points than my defense. And again, I had Seattle, so I mean, I really think that oftentimes we can totally underestimate the value of a kicker. So who would you say would be a really good kicker that people should look at when drafting a fantasy football team?
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, my favorite is Steven Gutkowski, and I never even bothered to draft him because people overdraft kickers. And I want to bring up, you brought up an excellent point, and they are the redheaded stepchildren. And people that have played fantasy football long enough, they don't care for ranks of kickers. I mean, the bottom line is if you have a good one on a good team who is deadly accurate and is given the opportunity to kick, then you've got yourself a great fantasy kicker. So Steven Gutkowski is one of those kickers. The Patriots let him kick 50-yarders. If he has 5 50-yard field goals in one game, they're happy to give him the opportunity to kick all five. But then you have a kicker like Robbie Gould, who's actually a bad fantasy kicker because the Bears don't kick that many field goals. They just don't give him the chances. But he's otherwise a very good and accurate kicker. But then you have other kickers who they miss field goals, and that drives you absolutely nuts. So I like guys like Dan Bailey. I like guys like Steven Gutkowski, Hushka for the Seahawks. What's the veteran for the 49ers? Oh, boy, I'm drawing a blank. If anybody can help me, please.
Oh, 49er kicker?
Yeah. Anyway.
I won.
Nick Novak's one for the Chargers. He's another great kicker. These are kickers you get. You put them in your lineup and you forget about them. You don't even address them. You just let them kick. If they have a bad week, so be it.
You're talking about Akers or Dawson?
Dawson, thank you.
Dawson.
Yeah. So, you know, there's plenty of kickers like that out there that you go get them, you just put them in your lineup. But don't overdraft them. Don't draft too early. You know, there's always some turnover. Like the kid who kicks for the Cardinals has been a pleasant surprise. He's one of the top kickers this year, and you could have easily drafted him in the last round of your fantasy draft. You didn't have to draft him, you know, let's say in round 8 in a 15-round draft.
Yeah. Right. Dan Carpenter for the Bills has been phenomenal. That's who I have on my team, and he has been crazy good.
He's very steady.
Yeah, he's very – that's what I like about him is he's very consistent. He doesn't miss a whole lot. You know, the Bills give him the chance to kick. And the thing about the Bills is because their quarterback situation is kind of in flux, and that's what I look for when I draft kickers, really, is I look for a team that maybe doesn't have as strong of a quarterback. They're going to be kicking a lot of field goals if they can't get in the end zone. So yeah. Dan Carpenter, you know, the Bills kick a lot of field goals. They had 3 field goals in the game on Thursday against the Dolphins. He got me 10 points. So, you know, he's one that I've been surprised with or that I've been happy with. You know, I've seen Gostkowski and Vinatieri. They always go super early in fantasy football. And I'm always scratching my head thinking, you know, they would have been available later. You didn't have to take them, you know, in round 6. But
exactly. So you don't have to have the very top guy like a Steven Gostkowski, but I think if you have him and you draft him at the right timing and every week, he'll get you 10 to 16 points or 10 to 15 points, and it'll be as good as any player or as good as any defense on your roster. But if you don't get him, then you can fall back on Phil Dawson, Steven Hushka, Nick Novak, Dan Bailey, and still be very happy.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you a kicker who I actually was surprised was still in the market because when I realized that the Cowboys were on a bye, I was actually able to get Adam Vinatieri for tonight. So what do you think? Is that going to be a good move, especially
yeah,
in light of how the
yeah.
–
Absolutely. Look, I mean, it's a good move because he's another great example of a kicker on a team that they will give them opportunities to kick. If their offense stalls, they will not hesitate to have him run out on the field and try and kick a field goal. So that's a plus. He does miss from time to time, can drive you a little nuts, but you know I think Vinatieri he's certainly steady enough to me that that was a great pickup on your part to play him tonight.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, good. Good stuff, good stuff. Anything else for Jim?
This has actually been really insightful. Like I said, for me, this is only my second year doing fantasy football. So, you know, it's really and truly been a lot of trial and error, you know, just in terms of who to start, who not to start, who to pick up, who to draft. Is it better – actually, I do have one more question. Is it better to automatic draft or going ahead and set your draft yourself?
Well, I like to draft myself. I mean, you know, if I'm not going to be available, obviously it's no problem. But even then, I'll ask my wife to do it for me. She does a really good job. And but I love to draft. To me, that's the most exciting part. You know,
friends don't let friends auto draft.
What's that?
I said friends don't let friends auto-draft.
You know, I've seen people auto-draft and they didn't get a very good team. And I always think it's amazing.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee to you getting a better team just because it's an auto-draft, especially if you don't play with it and play with the players that you want or don't want. You know, every single website that offers fantasy football, everything is structured to their limits and to their players and their rankings and what they've done. So if something is wrong inherently with any of that, then an auto draft may not do a very good job for you.
Well, and it's all based on statistics from last year and for projections for how they think these people are going to do, which doesn't factor into, you know, the current state of the team and the coaches and, you know, how this player is going to play. I mean, it can't factor in kind of you know, those, I can't think of the word, I can't come up with the word, but they don't fact, they can't factor everything into it. So they just put the statistically the next best player, but that's not always the one that's going to turn out to be the good player. So,
well, here's what I'll say. I can't speak for any of the sites, what they factor in and what they don't factor in. When I do my rankings, I factor in as much information as I can into giving them different values by player. And my draft guidebook, I give you the value that I've assigned every player, so you can see it. It's no secret. And, you know, at the end of the day, you can't control what a coach does. You can't control injuries. And that's all you really can do. But you can sit there and say, hey, this is a player that should be productive in this offense because they'll depend on him. How much they'll depend on them, that's the thing that you're trying to estimate. That's the thing you're trying to figure out, and you just do your best.
So do you actually play fantasy football, Jim? Do you have, like, a league that, you've been in for years or anything like that?
You broke up a little bit. Did you ask me if I myself actually play fantasy football?
Yeah, like, I mean, do you have, like, a league and, like, of people that are really experienced? Obviously, because you kind of teach this stuff and everything, it seems like there would be people that would be like, you're not invited to my league. You're not invited. So I'm just wondering, kind of, do you have a league that you've been playing with for years?
I'm so sorry. I didn't really hear you. I will say we don't offer leagues on our site. We're going to be offering a daily game soon. I do offer a subscription portion of the site, which provides things such as first look starts and sits early in the week, so you can start looking at your roster and look ahead. We offer fantasy points allowed, which lets you value and see, you know, who your players' matchups, if they're the best at defending running backs or the worst, and that's by example. We also do game previews, which basically in an analytical form breaks down the game for you and gives you in a sort of a start and sit format why you should start a player, or which players to start, which to sit, and why, as well as just identify risky players, because there's always players that you kind of have to go, are they worth playing this week or should I avoid them? And so we try to do that as well for people. And the subscription or the membership is called Skybox, and I think it's like $12 for the year. And, I mean, it's ridiculously inexpensive and cheap. I was trying to figure out the number of items that you get and what the cost would be based on that $12, and I think I came up with maybe 400 items, and it's like 3 cents an item or something. It's just stupid.
All right, well, anyway. Definitely, Jim, we want to thank you once again for being on the show. If you could, let everybody know where they can learn more about joining fantasy football and getting involved in all that fun.
Absolutely. Come and visit us at the Fantasy Greek, GREEK.com. Let us be your second opinion for your fantasy football instinct. We have a lot of news items. We have a lot of information, rankings. I do articles every week that are like, you know, the top plays at different positions. We also do football stuff like power rankings. We review games that everybody gets to see. And, you know, just make it your regular place. Here's the thing. People I talk to, they always love having sort of that second website to compare what they're thinking of doing to sort of justify justify why they're making their decision and sometimes convince them that a different approach is a good one. So for everybody out there, come visit us, thefantasygreek.com, your second opinion for your fantasy football instinct. We're on Facebook at The Fantasy Greek as well as on Twitter at The Fantasy Greek. And everybody, thanks again for having me. As always, it's always fun to be on the show.
Thanks, Jim.
It was great having you.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, everybody, have a good evening. See you soon.
Have a great evening.
All right, you too. Take it easy. All right, let's keep it moving here. Let's get into some college football. Like we were talking about earlier, there were some shaking up going on, so we'll get into that. I got the AP Top 25 poll that came out for Week 13, and let me say how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
You have number one, you have Florida State. at a record of 10-0. Of course, the Crimson Tide move up to number 2. You've got Oregon at number 3. Both of them have 9-1 records. Mississippi State falls all the way to number 4. They're now 9-1 instead of being undefeated like they were. TCU drops down to 5. They're also 9-1. Baylor number 6, Ohio State number 7, Ole Miss number 8, Georgia at 9, and rounding out the top 10, you have Michigan State at 8-2. So a little bit different rankings than last week, but there were some pretty good games last night and yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, I don't think that Florida State should be number one, regardless of the fact that they're undefeated. Their schedule has been weak, and every single week they skate by with a win. Alabama beat the number one team in the nation, and so them leapfrogging Oregon, I would say, okay, that's fine. But Florida State should not be ahead of Alabama or Oregon. They should be number 3. I mean, honestly, that's my opinion. It's just, I'll be interested to see when the CFP comes out and what, because honestly, if the CFP puts Florida State at the top, I might just completely throw a fit. I'm not even kidding. I will freak out.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't know if I'll freak out, but I'm right there with you as far as Florida State being number one. I understand based on their record, you can put them there, but also, in college, they go by style points, and it seems like every week they come to within an inch of losing, but yet, you know, they're still number one. So,
yeah.
I'll be happy
so
once they get to a point where.
So, who do you guys think are going to be in the top four with this shakeup now, based on, you know, this new system that they've got for the college football playoffs?
See, that's a tough one.
I think it'll still, I mean, top three are safe. You got Florida State, Alabama, and Oregon. That'll be top three. So Mississippi State, I think they should drop out of the top four of the CFP, at least for this week, which puts probably TCU or Baylor, in my opinion, up in that fourth spot. You know, that's who I think should round out the top four. I think the top three are safe and saying those top three are going to be there. It's that fourth spot that's really going to be kind of a flex option.
Yeah, I can get the top two, but as far as three and four, it's kind of a toss up. Part of me says Mississippi State should still be in there, but another part of me is like, maybe they should be number 5. You know, just because they did lose yesterday, they didn't play
exactly
up to the potential that they normally play at. That's kind of a tough one for me. I mean, I don't know. Keisha, have you kind of been following it more, or have you?
Yeah,
I'm trying.
I thought you were
talking. I am trying. You know, like I said, my love is still and always will be the SWAC and the MEAC. So, you know, it's tough, but I am doing a much better job. Like I said, I was really proud of myself. I did follow and keep up with what was happening with yesterday's Florida Gators game. I know that the Gators were huge at one point and, you know, winning in the SEC. And then I know they had Urban Myers, who then left to go to Ohio State, and having gone to the University of Akron for grad school. So that was kind of why I was able to, pay attention to what was happening, you know, in those regards. And, so that's a good one. What about Ohio State? I mean, that's a team that historically also is really good in terms of their football ranking. How are they doing right now?
Well, right now they're ranked number 8. So, you know, Urban Meyer has got them back on the upswing. They were down for a few years, but you know, he's coming there and kind of turning them around. So they're on the upswing. It'll be interesting to see where they end up at, because what's their record? Let me see what their record is here real quick.
They're 9-1.
Their record is 9-1. So, and you know, of course there's a bunch of other 9-1 teams in there. So, right.
Well, what happens to the teams then? Okay, so you have your top four. What about your teams then who are in your top 8, top 10? What happens to all of the other multiple 12 million bowls? And I think for me that probably is one of the other reasons why I kind of just kind of watch college with a peripheral eye. At first, when you know, growing up, there were, you knew what the bowls were. Now there's like a bowl for everything. So that kind of, for me, it's kind of devalued, you know, the importance of the game. So what happens to all
right.
these other bowls, and who, how do they determine who plays in those?
Well, they're still going to have
they,
the bowl.
Well, yeah. That's, they make too much better. Money for it not to.
Right.
So if you're not
yeah,
in the top
right.
four, then you can go to one of those other bowls?
Yeah, I think the top four is just for the playoff, the actual playing for the national title. So the bowl games, they're still going to do, you know, the Rose Bowl and all. I mean, the Rose Bowl is really, you know, the Pac-12. The Pac-12 champion and the Big Ten champion play for the for the Rose Bowl. So you have the traditional ones, and I think they're still going to make a whole thing out of it. You know, and there are way too many bowl games. There's really no reason to have that many bowl games. It's because they make so much money. It really, that's why. But the semifinals for the college football playoff system is the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl. So they took the two biggest bowls, and those are going to be the semifinals, and I think the winners of those two will then, I think, play for the national title.
Right. Because the whole reason the playoff started was because at the end of each season, you have, you know, your quote-unquote national champion, but there was always question as to, okay, who can beat them? And there was always somebody out there that was like, you know, well, so-and-so can beat them, or they lose to this other team. So that was
mm-hmm.
one of the major reasons they decided to go with the playoff system. But, yeah, as far as the bowls, they're always going to have those because, you know, with all the corporate sponsors nowadays, that brings in tons of money for the schools, you know, to help them keep their programs going. You know, everybody's got new uniforms. You know, everybody's trying to attract the new recruits each year. So, yeah, that's too much of a moneymaker for them to do away with that.
Yeah, so I guess from what I've read, they have New Year's Bowls, they're calling them, and it's on the college football playoff. And they're just saying that that participants in the Orange Bowls and Sugar Bowls are contracted outside the playoff arrangement. So if a conference champion qualifies for the playoffs, then the bowl will choose a replacement from that conference. So when the bowls host the semifinals and their contracted conference champions do not qualify, then the displaced champions will play in the other New Year's Bowls. And then the Fiesta Cotton and Peach Bowls will host displaced conference champions. That's what the website says, so, yeah.
Right. So, but then, of course, you know, it's kind of my favorite time of the year as far as college football, other than all the hype at the beginning of the season, because it's like there's a bowl game on every day. So if you
yeah.
don't get a chance to, you know, catch some of the major bowls, you can always catch, you know, something like the Little Caesars, you know, something bowl, or you know,
yeah.
if you want to get your football fix. So.
The Pork Rind Bowl.
Right. So it's like almost every company out there has a bowl game now.
Exactly. The you know, get your oil change bowl, and the, yeah, it's really crazy.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that for me is kind of why, you know, I stopped watching. I remember growing up as a kid, the Rose Bowl, you know, was huge because it had the Rose Bowl parade, and that was quality family time. You know, that was, you know, we sat down with our parents, you know, as kids, we enjoyed the parade, and then once the parade was over, you know, Dad got to watch football. But it was something that really brought the family together, and I think for me, I guess I kind of missed that because it's like a bowl here, a bowl there, you get a bowl, you get a bowl, you get a bowl. And I'm like, well, where then is the value, and what makes it special? So why am I watching? You know, it seems like anybody can go to a bowl, so therefore, what's the significance of you being here? And I think that kind of is what made it fall off for me, and one of the reasons why I think I kind of just tuned out with college. But again, like I said, as soon as draft time comes around, I start paying attention again and reading the reports and, you know, seeing who did what, who's expected to go where. So, you know, being on the show with you guys has kind of reinvigorated my interest in, you know, learning and being in tune to what's happening in college football.
See, I'm glad we could be a positive influence on you.
What can I say? We're a great team.
Well,
that's
all right. This college football talk, I almost forgot. Erica's team is playing tonight, so we got to hurry up and wrap up so she can go ahead and enjoy the game.
Oh, yes.
But that's a pretty good matchup.
Yeah. I think, you know, I feel like if we can play the way we did against Denver, we should have no problem with this game. So we just have to continue with the pressure on Andrew Luck, you know, feel the edges. So, because he can scramble. He's pretty good that way. You know, he can get some yardage. So we need to make sure that if we're, you know, getting the pressure on him in the pocket, that we don't allow him to run out either. So I think if you know, the offense, I don't usually worry about too much. It's usually our defense that has me a little nervous. But we're on pace. The Patriots are kind of in that Belichick Brady win mode. And when they get like that, they're almost unstoppable. So it'll be exciting.
And I forgot to check, are they at home?
I have one quick question for you. I'm sorry. Erica, I have one quick question for you. So I know we're looking at 8:30, and I know it'll be time to wrap up soon and get you back to your game. But everybody has always made up all the hype for a long time, you know, Brady Manning. So is it really Brady Manning, or is it now Patriots Colts?
Well, you know, it was Brady Manning because Manning, you know, Peyton played for the Colts. And because they were they're some of the two best quarterbacks, in the NFL, and when Peyton was on the Colts, he obviously made them really good. So the Patriots and the Colts were kind of the two big AFC giants there. And so they played each other, and usually their games were kind of deciding AFC seeds and everything like that. So then Peyton leaves, and the Colts are kind of like, well, maybe they won't be as good, and it's not as big of a rivalry because, you know, Manning's not there. But now they have Andrew Luck, who has made the Colts relevant again. And them being relevant makes, again, the AFC story still, they're kind of one that have some of the best record and, you know, decides AFC seed. So there's still some of that rivalry there with the Colts and the Patriots, but it's not as big, in my opinion, as it was when Peyton was there. And that's why now all of a sudden, I didn't realize, but now all of a sudden the Patriots have a rivalry with the Broncos that we never used to have, only because it's Peyton again and Peyton Brady. That's so... It's kind of I get really tired of the whole Manning-Brady thing, the whole rivalry, if you will, because I don't feel like they have a rivalry. I feel like they're both on good teams and they're good quarterbacks, and why can't we leave it at that? And they play each other, and that's how it works, you know. So it's just kind of a weird situation. But.
Yeah, they're always trying to get the casual fan involved that's kind of just focused on the quarterback or just kind of focused on where the ball goes, but... Yeah, I agree. They're both on great teams, and that's what should be out there, but that doesn't always catch the eye of some of the general public. So, but yeah, either way, it's a great matchup.
So. It is. Yeah, it'll be a good game for sure. And
Definitely. Well, that does it for another edition of the Blitz. Boys and girls, we're here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSports.com. We want to say thanks again to Jim Sarantos. Hopefully I'm saying his name right. You can find him at the Fantasy Greek for his insights on fantasy football strategies. Also, don't forget to check out at Gridiron Girl on Twitter and gridirongirl.org for College Football Insights Weekly. And you can find Erica there, too. You can also follow me on Twitter at Fit4Life, and that's life spelled with a Y, and in Kishi at Kishi's Cuties. And you can also follow Erica at PatsFangirl12. Once again, that's at PatsFangirl12 for more football tweets. Visit the No Joke Football Project. Shop for great deals on tees, hoodies, and leggings. Go to the shop now. Actually, yeah, before the game, so go there now. Let us know your favorite tee and use your Twitter handle to win by November 30th, so hurry to enter. Once again, you can catch Erica at PatsFangirl12 and at Cover3, cover 3-3. The last word is three spelled out, course, T-H-R-E-E, during NFL season, plus her Are You Kidding rants on YouTube. Did you miss her last rant? Follow her timeline for the link or visit her YouTube channel. Well, that was fun, guys. I want to thank Jim once again, also for our co-hosts, Erica and Nkeshi, and everyone listening. Catch you next Sunday for another edition of The Blitz. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Have a good week.